Welcome to Frontiers, Defending Our Freedom and Faith, brought to you by the Greater Syracuse Association of Evangelicals. My name is Dr. Bruce Jones, President. Our Frontiers program this month and next month is focusing in on the perils of Planned Parenthood. And last two sessions, we had Arnold Colberth from Protecting Black Life. And today we have Reverend Clennard Childress, who is in the author of blackgenocide.org. And welcome to our program today, sir.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
Very briefly, let's summarize what's happening in the African-American community regarding pro-life. Number one, what is the ratio of births to abortions in the African-American community? And what is the ratio of abortions for African-American women versus non-African-American women on abortion?
Well, an African-American child is five times more likely to be aborted than a Caucasian child. There's 1,000, and this is by Alan Guttmacher, by the way, who is the research arm for Planned Parenthood. And these are their statistics, which they're very proud of, that 1,784 African-American children are killed each day by abortion. 52% of all African-American pregnancies will end in abortion. It's the best-kept secret in America. And if you go into some of the urban communities, such as New York City, for example, where 60% of all pregnancies, African-American pregnancies, end in abortion, for every 1,000 live births, there are
3-2 ratio, isn't it?
Yeah, it's genocide. You know, people used to say my website was hyperbole, it was radicalism, it was more or less someone who was from the far right wing trying to frighten the African-American community, but it is a sociological fact.
And I understand that they're three times more likely to have abortions in the African-American community than in any other community. And I'm sure for an African-American pastor like yourself and our former guest, Arnold Colberth, from Protecting Black Life, that must be of grave concern to you.
Well, what has happened is there's been a major seduction. They're following the vision of Margaret Sanger, who was a devout racist. And she said we need to get to approach the African-American community from a religious approach, and that the colored minister would be necessary, and we need to get three or four colored ministers to be the face of our program. And she more or less was talking about bribing them, which is what she did. More or less she would give sums of money to these preachers who would preach the best message on family planning and contraceptives, and she gave out prizes, monetary prizes. It's the same thing going on today. The reason why many preachers cannot truly take a stand on this ethically and morally is simply because they have ties to the money. If abortion was not lucrative, it would not be legal. So it is a very lucrative business, and they are getting funding, monetary compensation for the position to take, which is, in their view, pro-choice.
My goodness. When we look at this subject, too, Margaret Sanger, we didn't say much on this program about it, but in the two previous programs, we commented that Margaret Sanger was a racist, as you said. And her intention was to eliminate the black race through sterilization, which was the method that she could use at that time. And secondly, she said that amazing to me that she would say this about black people, that they were genetically inferior and they grow like weeds and they should be destroyed. How is it that the African-American community, or those in it, we should say, can buy into this ideology when it's so anti-black?
Well, 95% of African-Americans don't know those statements, and they have been fed misinformation about the intent and purpose of Planned Parenthood and, abortion as a viable means to consider if it's an untimely pregnancy. So once again, it has been massive misinformation. It has been massive censorship. I would ask also, how is it that Margaret Sanger, after making those blatant racist comments, was considered to be one of the top 100 Americans of the 20th century by the Smithsonian Institute? This unquestionably is misinformation. It is something that we need to deal with as a culture, that this individual can be determined to be a great American and has done more for America than most, when she was obviously an elitist who was racist and targeted the African American community.
Well, let's talk about two things, one this week and one next week, and that is this. As a pastor, I know the critical role that pastors play in the lives of their congregation. And it is often said that as the pastor goes, so goes their church. Well, there's a certain amount of truth to that, though not infallible, to say the least. But what is the role of the African-American pastor, and how do you feel that they are fulfilling their role today in addressing this issue? And what are the issues that they need to understand and their people need to understand?
That is the last component to the pro-life movement that is unfortunately still not at its maximum. It is missing, I'll say, and that is the African-American preacher. And when the African-American pastor begins to prioritize this issue and make it a part of their ministry, because it's impacting, abortion impacts African-Americans more so than any other ethnic group in the country. So when they begin to make it a priority, the culture will shift, and the issues will be brought to light far more. And right now it is being pushed as an aid to women, where it's totally the exact opposite. And it's a detriment to women, not only psychologically, but physiologically, and of course spiritually. So the African-American preacher is not in their place on this issue nationally or globally, really, and we have to unquestionably begin to take the rightful position as a watchman that God has called us to be, that we are positioned by God to be able to see the wolf, to see this devouring agent that is in our community, and the blood will be on our hands if we fail to do that.
Well, Chris, this does not exempt us as non-African-American pastors, by the way, audience. We're not picking on them, but I'm asking an African-American pastor to comment on his own community. We have to address that issue in our community as well, sir. Well, one of the things that I think is true is that the leading cause of abortion starts with promiscuity. Because if people were not promiscuous, they wouldn't have babies out of wedlock, and then they wouldn't decide to cancel the life of those babies to spare themselves the problem of raising those babies. And whatever they say about reproductive health, it has nothing to do with the issue. The issue is reproductive life, and that is that a baby has a right to exist. So what do you want to say about any pastor about promiscuity being a leading cause of leading into the issue, and do you correctly believe me to be saying the truth there?
Oh, absolutely, and they've chosen abortion, murder, as a solution. Well, you have a wrong solution, you know, to the problem. And Dr. Martin Luther King, in a 1957-58 interview with Ebony Magazine, clearly gave his position on what African-American women and men should aspire, and he said premarital virginity, the problems of premarital virginity are far, far less than premarital promiscuity. And so, in other words, he was then in 57-58 saying abstinence, unquestionably, would be the way to have a productive society. And, of course, he did not foresee the blatant promiscuity and the alarming rates of STDs and unquestionably, the shift of the culture to not marry. At his time, most people were marrying. Right now, marriage is down 17% nationally and 34% in the African-American community. So, as Dr. King said, premarital virginity, the problems that arise from that are far, far, far less than the problems when we choose to be promiscuous.
Well, our time is up, sir, but we're looking forward to next week, and we'll have you back again as our guest. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Join us next week at the Frontier, where our freedoms and faith are being attacked.
Thank you for listening. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of GSAE or the Mars Hill Network.
Mars Hill Energy Productions.